Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you that, again, you have given all of this because it is you. Lord, thank you that we praise you, and thank you for the building praise in our lives, God, and thank you for the thanksgiving this morning, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that again, you are lifting us up, hallelujah, because we're lifting you up. Thank you, God, how you do that, God. You feed us with your word in song and in study. And God, you feed us and you say, now rise up, honey, just rise up. Come on, let's go on, let's go on, let's go on. And Lord, I thank you because I'm seeing it might just be over the next hillside. Oh, that we see you running through that field. Oh, God, I can hear your voice. Oh, Lord, as you say, rise up and come away. Oh, my love, my fair one. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, we thank you for that groaning, Lord, that only comes from the ministering of the Holy Ghost that does that. The Holy Ghost who takes the things of Christ and it makes it mine. Not just words on a page. Not just somebody else's story. But Lord, it's mine. It's my proposal. You're mine. And I thank you how you do that for each and every one of your sons so individually. Yes, you are omniscient. But you're also omnipresent. And I thank you, God, that you are present with us. Hallelujah. We give you the thanks, the praise, the honor, the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Someday I'm going to open my eyes and I'm going to see him. Praise his name. Yes. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter, and we'll be going over to Philippians 1. So again, 2 Corinthians 12 and Philippians 1. In 2 Corinthians 12:15, Brother Paul says to these Corinthians, I will very gladly, isn't that wonderful? He wasn't just willing, it wasn't just duty. He said, very gladly. It's a joy. Spend and be spent for you. And what that means right there is, that he's basically at a complete strength, that God is using him so mightily, and that everything has been poured out. Praise God. And what a joy and rejoicing and privilege it is to Paul to be used of the Lord to be this vessel that has been poured through for these saints. It'd be wonderful if it just ended there, but it even got more glorious, especially for Paul. Listen to this. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Amen? Oh, amen. I think about this and I think what a sweet rejoicing that we have. As Brother Paul had given to these Corinthians, the same thing that the Lord is giving to us through Brother Paul, such great salvation which we are loved, such great salvation to which we are called. Brothers and sisters, we are privileged beyond any words, expression, any imagination, privileged to live in this church age. Privilege, praise God, to be in this period of time that the bride for Jesus is being assembled right now. That bridal company, that bridal body, praise God, is going on right now. And to think of us who sit here today, and all of God's precious people have this full potential as well too, but without hearing Paul's gospel, you'll never grow to this. You'll never be quickened to it. You must hear truth. You must hear all truth. As Brother Paul said, I withheld nothing from you. I've declared the whole counsel of God. And praise God, in that whole counsel of God, we have the full potential with the infilling of the Holy Ghost to know all truth. As Brother Paul says so sweetly, yea, the deep things of God by His Spirit. Now let me tell you something. Those folks in the Old Testament, they saw some deep things. They were encouraged in some mighty things. But praise God, can you imagine you in this age, even a better thing, even a deeper thing? Oh, hallelujah. I'm taking you down to the mother lode. Yea, the deepest part of my heart, by the power of my might, by the Spirit, by the one who sheds the love of God abroad in your heart, to know that it's yours. That it's not something that you just see afar off. It's not something that there's some veil between. Oh no, this is yours. It's all yours. Come in and take it for your own. And in that truth, you think that we would know the unfathomable love of Christ. And in knowing that unfathomable love, that's a big word. It's hard for me to say. But I can believe it. Amen. But if we'll embrace that and believe it, it will have us, on His throne of glory. Isn't that wonderful? Ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ, glorified together with Him throughout all eternity. His wife. Yeah, you just got to sit down and, yeah. Didn't you say yes to salvation? Those that fill with the Holy Ghost, I know a young man over here, he finally did. He said, yeah, it's for me. And you know, he brought it, didn't he, son? Yes, he did, honey. He's faithful to His Word. He's just faithful to His Word. God always prefers His Word. God always favors one thing. His Word. That's why He favors His sons. If you're a son of God here today, because His Word, Christ, lives in you. That's why you're favored. Not because you think you're all that. The only thing you were all that about was dead in sin and trespasses. That was it. You got everything when you have Christ in you. And He favors His Word. Then I want you to even go after His Word even more. Lord, let it just grow in me. I want to be pleasing to You, Father. With this great grace wherewith I am graced, I want to please You. But see, this is so wonderful, this truth, this proposal, this, again, better thing that was given to us, these exceeding great and precious promises. Know the Word of God for yourself. Know this. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God I'm quoting to you. But know that, praise God, it's yours. And it's beyond wonderful and it's beyond marvelous. But as we read here, Paul has been preaching this to these Corinthians for over 2 years. And even though at first when he came, they were thrilled. They were encouraged. They said, oh my goodness, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. You guys, you have brought us the hope of Christ. But now in such a short time, they're beginning to turn. And not just from Him, they're beginning to turn on Him. Oh yes, it's like this, as it says in Hebrews 6. They were fine with the principles of the doctrine. You understand that? If you go and read about that, that's like the first things, the foundational things. And I glory in those foundational things. And that's the majority of Christianity. Absolutely, they glory in that. But as Hebrews 6, and again as Paul encouraging, now you go on. And this is what Paul did. He said, you guys were fine with the principles, but I desire that you go on to perfection. I want you to grow on to completion. I want you to be filled with all the fullness of God and to be fully grown for Him. But that was just too much love for them. When you start loving like that, and they don't want to go along that way, it's get out of my business. And they loved him less and less and less for it. Amen. Oh, yes. I thank the Lord by his grace many times. And again, all by his grace. I've experienced ones that have noticed and noted the joy of the love of Christ in my life. And I thank the Lord for, again, that grace. They have said, oh, I love that spirit that lives in you, brother. But as time goes on, more often than not, as the Lord Christ in you, the hope of glory, I can't help but speak these things which I have seen and heard. How about you? When you really love somebody, huh? And as the Lord gives you opportunity, huh? And you give them the word of God, yes. And the whole counsel of God, they turn away. They do not want to endure sound doctrine. How pleasing I once was. And now I am despised. And all I can say is praise God. Praise God. Lord, just a little bit, yes, of a testimony. I'm following Paul as he followed Christ. You know, I pray, brothers and sisters, that we really truly have a heart like that precious brother David. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You think he was the one that was so encouraged. Oh, I am so thankful my salvation is new every morning. You think he knew about that, do you? Huh? He got himself into some things, didn't he? Oh, yes. It wasn't just to get out of jail card free for him. Oh, no. He knew the mercy of the Lord. There was a repentant heart. He wished he hadn't. Absolutely. But God said, yeah, you know what, son, it didn't have to be that way, but it had to be that way. Because I'm going to show you my heart, honey. I'm going to show you my mercy. I'm going to show you my wonderful grace. And I thank the Lord for that heart of sweet David, because it was shown and revealed time and time and time again, but especially when he couldn't help but dance before the Lord. Amen. I don't even know how to express myself to you anymore, Lord. I've just got to dance before you. I can't speak words. I can't show you in any other way. I've got to just let you have it all. And he began to dance. And I'll tell you what, he didn't care where it was, because the Spirit was hitting him. And he began to dance before all the people. And they needed to see that, see. They needed to see that inhibition, hallelujah, that absolute love, joy, adoration. And he danced before him. And he danced before him just in his undergarments, too. He said, I got to just dance. I can't get dressed. I got to go now. Huh? Yeah, shows you. See, when he's pulling at you, you don't need to get ready. You go. And he's calling at you now. You go. You don't prepare. He's already got it prepared. Isn't that wonderful? Again, it's just that showing up. But there he danced and he was rejoicing, and there was that wife. And you know what? He loved her. He did. He cared for her. He adored her. Treasured her. But I'll tell you one thing, she sure didn't like that stuff. Well, I like it that you love God. But that delirious stuff, David, that's embarrassing to us. You're a king. How could you act like that? How could that come upon you? And then for all the time in front of all these people, what do you think they're going to think of you? And all he could answer her back, and I'll give it to you just like this. Let me tell you something, honey, you haven't seen anything yet. If this has been debased in your eyes, you haven't seen anything yet. Now, do we really love those? Do we really love those that stand in the truth for us? I want you to think about this. And I'm not just speaking about your pastor or a teacher, but I'm talking about, how about a dad? How about a mom? How about a sibling? How about a friend? How about a relative? I got news for you. They are not trying to live your life. They're not trying to live your life. But they are standing. And they are standing to encourage you to live the life of Christ in you and nothing less. And nothing else. And I'm going to tell you something. That is true love. That's true love. You will never be loved with any greater love than that. When somebody loves you with the perfect love of God, and the perfect love of God is the very heart of God that wants you to go on and to grow on and to have God's best and to stand and come out from among them and not to be just caught up in this world speak. Well, I've got to be like this, or this is just the rite of passage, or this is just the way it is. But by the grace of God, those that have stood in the gap, stood when it's not popular, stood when it was downright uncomfortable, those are the ones that truly love you. Thanks be to God. And this was Brother Paul. This was the heart of Brother Paul. With these Corinthians, he wanted them to grow up. They were a bunch. They were just such a bunch of disgraces. They just were. But he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not even ashamed of it. He loved them. He loved them with the perfect love of God. And not only did he tell them, he said, you grow in love and you grow in grace and you grow in faith. He was not afraid to tell them, honeys, you've got to put away those sinful ways. You need to leave that fornication. You need to leave that indecency. You need to get away and leave behind those worldly lusts. That's not a popular thing. But when he increases in you, you'll decrease. When that spirit of the word of his grace and that spirit and truth is poured into your little vessel, and poured into that vessel, poured into that vessel, there's not going to be room or time for all of those childish things that I thought that I had to have. Jesus said, those that love a father or mother more than me, that love this world more than me, that even love a wife more than me, read all them things he said. It's not that you're not worthy to come after me. You're not going to win my best, is what he was saying. First love is exactly and truly what it is. It's first love. See, Paul wasn't just trying to be everybody's good guy. Paul wasn't just trying to have everybody just fall over him and have big crowds and try to be a people pleaser. He was after one thing and one thing only. As he said, the one thing, forgetting them things which are behind and pressing and reaching for the mark, for the prize, for the one thing, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Is your life about Paul's gospel? I pray it is. It's the only thing there is. It's the only thing of value there really, really, really is to win him. Paul was determined. Paul was incensed with love. He wanted more than anything for the sons of God to grow up. As he said to them, I did not come to baptize. I understand, you know what? You need to be born again and be baptized, praise God. to even have the life. To have the life, you need to believe. But now the foundation is laid. The principles of the doctrine have been laid. Go on. Go on. Go on. What I'm getting at today is there's a cost. The gospel of the glory, the bridal truth, always comes with the cost. He that loses his life for my sake, listen to that. He that loses his life for my sake will find it. Suffer with me and ye will reign with me. Philippians 1, 29 and 30. For unto you it is given. And we've talked about this many times. This word given is interpreted the gift between a bride and a groom. These are bridal wedding gifts. This is the due benevolence. This is between a husband and a wife. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. This is Paul speaking, having the same conflict, the same battle, the same struggle which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. He is speaking this and writing this from a prison. This was not a popular message. They're saying, oh, wait a second, you're going to die. And you're telling us that if we're really going to go on with the Lord, we need to have this same struggle. We need to have this same conflict. We need to have this same battle that you see in me and that you hear to be in me. That is right. And what was that battle? What was that struggle? Maybe some of these things are familiar to you. Despairing of your own life. How many today, by the grace of God, are you being pressed out of measure? Are you in a situation? Huh? Well, praise him right now, because you know what? Knowing this gospel, you're not suffering for nothing. You're suffering for the only thing that the suffering ever counts, and that's to win him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. This is my joy and my rejoicing. This is my comfort and this is my rest. This is all and all there is. Praise God. And I'm beginning to know it more and more as he takes me through. But this is cost after cost that we go this way. But it was especially magnified in Paul's last words as he said, all in Asia have forsaken me. All in Asia have forsaken me. See, it wasn't the prison that he was saying hurt him. It was uncomfortable. It wasn't the beatings, it wasn't the shipwrecks, it wasn't the loss of his social status, it wasn't the loss of all things, all of his belongings. No, the hurt that hurt the worst was his spiritual loved ones turned from him as he stood. The greatest sting were those that rejected the heights of glory. Those that were so near and dear to him, that were comforting to him. That were beginning to leave the bridegroom's voice. Brothers and sisters, think it not strange the more that you love the truth. Think it not strange that the more you love in the truth, that most will want to get away from you. As Brother Paul said in Galatians 4:16, have I become your enemy? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have you been there? Praise God. Are you there right now? Praise God. And if you really are there, you'll have the same tears as Paul. Because it hurts. Because you love. You say those words, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth in pride and judgment and condemnation?" You don't have the love of Christ. You just have the love of you. You're just boasting in your knowledge, which puffs you up. The love of God edifies. The love of God gives you spiritual encouragement. The love of God is always tender. The love of God always aches. This is hard to give. I think about sweet Joseph. A lot of things in that precious story. I love to think of the type of Christ in it. But I'm going to tell you, I love another part of that story too. Where he told his brethren, "I had a dream that you're all going to bow down to me." And they hated him for it. But then it was very interesting, the hate, you know what it turned to? They envied him for it. Envy is when you know somebody has something that you don't. And he told him, he said, "I saw you bow down before me." You think about the Song of Solomon in the Shulamite. There she was, so ecstatic and in love with the bridegroom. And there were her friends, those daughters of Jerusalem. And it was getting close to the time that she was going to depart. And you would think that they would be so euphoric and happy for her. But they weren't. They tried to distract her and delay her. They tried to reason with her. They said, "You know what? You should have other loves like we do. Your intensity, your devotion is really just making us uncomfortable. But thanks be to God, that sister wasn't fazed. And she went on." Oh, yes. And she won him. So by the grace of God today, let us love on in all truth. Has he given you a dream?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I remember when he gave me that dream, and he only gives you his dream, you know that. When he gives you his dream, that's his word. And I remember when I saw that. About that Philadelphia company. "And I'll make known to all them that I have loved thee. And I'll have them come to bow down before thee." Yeah, I've had a dream. And it's offended some. But I will love on by the grace of God in all truth. Though the less I am loved. While every head is bowed, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, it is beyond words to express it. But by your Spirit, you give us understanding, knowledge. And Lord, you give us utterance. And thank you that our hearts today are uttering to you. Thank you. In the gratitude, praise God, of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the very heart of God. Thank you for this great, incredible, amazing grace that has brought us to this love. And by the grace of God, may we go on. In Jesus' name, praise God.